Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. This is God's Word. "In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Folks, I'm getting ready for a party. I'm looking forward to October 31st because we're going to be celebrating. And what are we going to be celebrating on October 31st?
Reformation Day.
That's exactly right, Reformation Day. We have something to look forward to. We have something to celebrate. Now, when we celebrate on Reformation Day, we're looking back in history. We're remembering some absolutely amazing events that God orchestrated, God brought about in order that we might have the truth. But I hope that in our celebration of what God has done in the past, you're also looking forward to what your responsibility is now that you've been entrusted with the truth. There are other people who have worked with discipline and precision and enormous energy in order to give you something. And that something is God's word. And now it's been entrusted to you. And what I don't want you to do is to drop the ball. You understand? So the lesson this morning, the point of this morning's message, is God has given you his word. What are you going to do with it? God has given you his word. What are you going to do with it? We celebrate the Reformation on October 31st, because that was the day when Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church and challenged all comers to a debate. And that was a huge turning point. But in your studies and preparation for the celebration, I hope that you will look at the life of John Wycliffe, who was born in 1328 in the UK. He died long before Luther was born. But he was an outstanding follower of Jesus Christ. He was a faithful witness, and at the heart, he was a scholar, he was a philosopher, he was a brilliant mind. He was a careful student, but at the heart of what he wanted to communicate to people was the gospel. And where had he found the gospel? In the scriptures. And so what did he want people to be able to have? The Bible in their own language. Because he knew, hey, this is God's word. And he worked hard, put his life on the line so that people could know the truth. Why would anybody be opposed to that? I mean, who could be opposed to that? Who would not want people to know and believe God's word? Do you remember in God's word back in Genesis that there was a serpent? And the first words of Satan as recorded in scripture, did God really say that you could not eat the fruit of any of the trees of the garden? And of course, God hadn't said that. But it was enough to get a conversation going with Eve. Because she said, oh no, he didn't say that. He said this. And Satan said, oh, but that's not true. Questioning and twisting what God says and denying the trustworthiness of the Word of God. That has always been the mode of Satan. And when you encounter that today, you ought to recognize that it comes from one who's still hissing. When people try to get you not to believe what God says, they are being animated, motivated, utilized by the Father of Lies. His method has always been to try and undermine the Word of God. Let me tell you one thing you can count on about the Word of God. It's always true. It's always true because God doesn't lie. His Word is truth. So, on the one hand, you've got God, whose word is truth. On the other hand, you've got Satan, who is the father of lies. What do you suppose the father of lies would tell us about the truth? Don't believe it. He's been doing that his entire career. And sadly, multitudes of people have been falling for it throughout our history. So, if you want to know the truth, because the truth will set you free, where do you find it? You find it in God's Word. Look again at this passage in 2 Timothy. Paul tells us we should not be surprised that guys like John Wycliffe and John Huss or Jan Hus or Martin Luther, or William Tyndale, or Zwingli, Calvin, Miles Coverdale, and others, that all those guys, those who took a stand, suffered for it. Don't be surprised. Verse 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Please get this. We look back in history and we say, oh, that's terrible. Oh, that's awful. Those people were persecuted simply because they wanted to have the Bible in the language of the people. They were persecuted simply for telling the truth. The scriptures tell us that's what we can expect. Don't be surprised. Don't you know that all who would live a godly life in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution? I'm only 11 years old, but I don't feel like I've really been persecuted for... I'm glad. If you have not been persecuted for your faith, that's wonderful. But if you live a life of obedience to Jesus Christ, the day will come when it will cost you dearly. Count on it, because God says you should. God says that His truth is more powerful than lies. But if you believe the truth, you'll have opposition. You can expect persecution. You don't live in terrible dread of it. Let me give you another example. I use this example because I think it's a fitting example for when you're dealing with the ancient serpent. We live in one of the most beautiful places on earth. It is absolutely gorgeous here. But I know, living here, I'm going to run into snakes from time to time. I just know that's a given. They just live here. There are snakes.
Oh, Pastor Rod, please don't tell me that.
Well, no, you ought to know that. If you see a thing on the ground and it's not a stick because it's going like this, all right, that's a snake. But I am not afraid of snakes. I do go on high alert, however, if they're copperheads or rattlesnakes. And then I eliminate them. Okay? In other words, it's the snake that's in trouble. I know I'm going to encounter them. I am not nervous about it. I'm simply alert to the reality. I know how to recognize them and tell the difference between a poisonous snake and a non-poisonous snake. I'm happy to have the non-poisonous snakes here. Some of them actually devour the poisonous snakes. But when you live in a place that has snakes, you need to know it. But you don't need to be afraid. If you're going to be true to the scriptures and live a godly life in Christ Jesus, you need to know that there will be opposition and even persecution. But you don't have to be nervous about it.
Oh, when do you think the persecution's coming? Do you think that the next president might be the Antichrist?
I'm not nervous. I believe that God has the whole thing very well planned. And so rather than be nervous, I want to focus on doing whatever He wants me to do. That's my role. And if there's persecution tomorrow or in 10 years, God will have us ready for whatever comes, as long as we're walking in obedience. That's our job.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone. To the realm of the unknown where
so here's what you're to do. Look at what he says right after that about evil men and imposters going from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. From infancy, Timothy, you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. What do the scriptures do if you understand them rightly? They cause you to trust in, to have faith in Jesus Christ, through whom we have salvation. So when we rightly understand the Scriptures, the consequence is salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the Reformation's all about, folks. That's why we celebrate it, is because when people believed what God said and trusted Jesus Christ, he saved them. But didn't some of them get killed? A bunch of them got killed. But you know what? They went straight from here to glory. So, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed. What does that mean, God-breathed? That's the NIV translation of what the King James calls inspired. God brought the Scriptures into being. It is from Him. It has His Spirit in it, His life in it. The word Spirit is the same as the word breath. And when God breathed the Scriptures, He filled the Scriptures with His Spirit. If you want to see a practical application of what that means, don't lose your place in 2 Timothy 3, but go back to Acts chapter 1. Perfect example of what it means. Acts chapter 1, verse 15, I'll read it to you. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the Scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas." Did you hear that? The Scripture had to be fulfilled. Why? Because it's true. Whatever God says is true. The Scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Spirit of God, the breath of God, spoke long ago through the mouth of David. All Scripture is God-breathed. It may have come out of David's mouth, but it was God's breath. It was God's Spirit. God was the one speaking through him. God was the one who gave us his word and preserved his word. We would not have the Scriptures apart from the fact that God caused it to come forth. And God has preserved it. So much effort has been devoted to trying to destroy this book and trying to keep this book from you, to make it so that you couldn't understand it. It would only be the special little area of knowledge for people who are approved by an inner group. And God said, no. This is my word. These are my people. And I want them to have my word. And so he raised up people like Wycliffe and people like Tyndale and people like Luther and people like Coverdale who were willing to put their lives on the line and suffer and die so that you could have a Bible that you could understand. You've been given a treasure. This is the Word of God, and it's been entrusted to you. Now, what are you going to do with it? You going to drop it? You going to lose it? Or are you going to cherish it and memorize it and meditate on it and let it change you from the inside out? God will use it to renew your mind and transform your life if you will hide His Word in your heart. What is the first Scripture that we ask you to memorize when you come here? Psalm 1. Because that psalm teaches you why it's important to memorize God's Word. You see, there's a whole host of people, mockers and sinners, and you don't want to be like that. Instead, you want to meditate on God's Word day and night. And you can't do that unless you memorize it. knowing what the Bible says doesn't guarantee that you will live a godly life and go to heaven. But it does guarantee that you will be without excuse. None of you will be able to stand at the judgment and say, I never heard. I didn't know any better. You know better. You've been told. And so the question is, what are you going to do with what you've been given? Here's what Timothy's told to do. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now, what is he telling Timothy he's supposed to do? Well, in the very next verses, he says, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage. In other words, Timothy, get your material from the scriptures. If you believe God's word, you will be going countercultural. You will be doing something that is different from what the crowds are doing. But you know what? Your delight will be in God's word as you meditate on it day and night. Because you're going to know it's true. I've told you before about the preacher who called me when I was pastoring on Cape Cod. He said, why are all those young people coming to your church? I said, I'm young, so maybe they're, you know, just more comfortable coming into a situation where there's a young pastor. And he said, no, that's not it. He said, what do you do over there? I said, we're studying the Bible. Really? Why would they be interested in that? And I said, well, we start with the premise that it's true. And he said, really? Very interesting. Never occurred to him. Because he'd been taught in a cemetery. In a seminary. Where they said that the scriptures weren't true. Sadly. That's what a lot of people are taught. Just like the book said they would be. And so they draw to themselves teachers who give them myths, make-believe stuff. Can I give you a couple of popular myths from today? These are some things you will hear among those who do not believe God's word. Well, man is basically good. People on the inside, if you get underneath the surface, people are basically good. Myth. Untrue. The Bible says we're dead in trespasses and sins apart from Christ Jesus. We're not basically good. If you peel back the surface, what you find is a heart of stone, according to Scripture. Okay? Let me give you another myth. When you get right down to it, all religions are pretty much the same. They all teach the same thing. Total falsehood. Utter rubbish. You couldn't even be an intelligent student of comparative religions and come to that conclusion. You would have to be spiritually blind because you are deliberately suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. So people will get teachers who will tell them what they want to hear, which is that they're basically good and all religions are pretty much the same. It really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Myth, falsehood, not to be believed. But God has given us his word, and that is that he loved us so much he sent his son to save us. And that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. And yet, he is the Savior of all who believe. Trust him. Trust him. And stake your life on it. Because if you really mean it, if you really trust in him, it'll cost you. There will be opposition, there will be persecution, and you will be ready. God has given you a treasure. He's given you his word. What are you going to do with it?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make,
I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.